This will be mercifully short. I'm convinced that most people do not understand what Palm Sunday is about. And I'm not absolutely confident that I can explain it as well as it needs to be explained, but I'll try anyway. To understand what is happening today, we have to go all the way back to the beginning, to Christmas. Remember, Herod was so paranoid about the baby Jesus being a newborn king that he had all the young boys in Bethlehem slaughtered just in case. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph escaped to Egypt for a few years. Even when Jesus came out of obscurity to begin his ministry, we read at the beginning of Lent about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert as he discerned what direction his ministry should take. What was God's plan for him? The third and final temptation by the devil was to offer him political power. To say you can become a king. And we know that even though Jesus concluded this was not God's path for him, throughout his ministry, people were always trying to make him a king. Even some of his apostles thought that that option was always on the table. Remember the story of James and John, who tried to make an end run around the other 10 apostles for the best seats in this new kingdom that they thought Jesus was going to establish. They wanted the two top jobs in the chancery office. We read that Judas was so disappointed with Jesus over this very issue that he tried to force Jesus' hand to get on with it by giving pieces of silver. But his plan backfired. When it didn't work, he ends up committing suicide. All this king talk among the people, all the dreams about power inside his inner circle, and a rising tide of paranoia among the Roman occupiers was about to explode when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It was a ticking time bomb. When Jesus and his band arrived in Jerusalem, the streets were clogged with religious pilgrims from everywhere. The air was full of tension. Jesus' own popularity had reached a fever pitch. The religious leaders' jealousy had reached the boiling point. And the government's worry had become paranoid. Everybody in authority, as well as Jesus, seemed to know that this trip smacked of a showdown. Jerusalem was indeed tense when Jesus arrived for the Passover. Something big was about to happen. It was in this tense situation that Jesus came into the city, not quietly, but with fanfare. Everybody noticed. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem was not some harmless little passion play. It was a deliberate move that had dark possibilities. Everybody knew that the very presence of Jesus in Jerusalem at this Passover could set off a riot. So as we read in the gospel in the back, when the great crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, throwing their coats on the road. Well, friends, palm waving and throwing of your coats on the road was not just a nice gesture of welcome, spontaneously invented for this particular occasion. These gestures had political overtones. In the past, when kings arrived to ascend their thrones, people would throw their coats on the road to meet him. Palm waving was a symbol of Jewish nationalism, synonymous with waving a rebel flag. Many in the crowds wanted a Jewish Messiah king who would overthrow the hated Romans, and they thought Jesus could fit the bill. Even though Jesus had fought off several efforts of this kind, the crowds knew what kind of Messiah they wanted. They wanted a powerful political revolutionary. In response to the people's misguided reception of him as a political David-like Messiah, Jesus deliberately came into the city on the back of a jackass, a pack animal, not a chariot with white horses. It was a political counterstatement that went above most people in the crowds. While they waved palms and chanted nationalistic slogans, Jesus' action on the back of a jackass said, "I am not that kind of king. My power is spiritual, not political." This temptation, the temptation to become a powerful political leader, had been proposed by Satan at the beginning of his ministry, and here he is back at the end, proposing it again. Satan, in various guises, never gave up. Jesus, consistent in his refusal, remained faithful to his call as a humble, peaceful, spiritual Messiah to the very end. My friends, throughout history, the church has sadly, from time to time, given in to the temptation to choose political power as a means to its goals, always with disastrous results. Even in our own time, not convinced of the real effectiveness of spiritual power, some Christian communities have fallen for the temptation to take the shortcut to achieve its mission by courting political power. What is their rationale? It seems that they believe if people don't choose to be good, they need to be made to be good. Palm Sunday has a lot to teach the church even today. My friends, our power is not political power. It's even more powerful than political power. It's spiritual power. Pope John Paul II had no armies, but he helped bring down communism just by his preaching and presence. That's spiritual power. Pope Francis has no real political power, except in a one small square mile piece of ground inside the walls of the Vatican, but he has tremendous spiritual power. And that is the real source of our power as well. The power that comes from authentic Christian living.